This is a Pinball News production.
Thanks a lot for coming along today. I'd like to introduce my team who are going to come down. So I'm obviously Andrew Highway. Brian, can you come down please? Brian Dominey, our Chief Programmer. I should say more actually our Chief Hardware Programmer, because our Chief Software Programmer or Chief Rules Programmer, Joe Schober, please come on down. Then we have our Chief Animator and Programmer for everything graphics-wise, all the movie clips you see, all the graphics and animations, Kelly Mazurowski. Then we have our graphic designer on Alien, we have Oric Lawson. Oric. And last but by no means least, we have the amazing sound engineer David Thiel. So what we're going to do, first of all, if I can get this mouse to work, is we're going to run through some photos of a few things first, and I'm going to show you a couple of videos, and then we'll sort of do a Q&A from the floor. Anybody has any questions, and we'll take it from there. Funny enough, one question I get asked a lot, especially as we're doing Alien, is are we going to be doing Predator at some point in the future? And of course, I say I have no comment. But it was really quite ironic, as I was flying over from the UK to Chicago, and one of the menu items on the in-flight entertainment was, I don't know if it's Predator Falls or Predator Fails, but anyway, I thought that was quite amusing. This was something somebody posted on Pinside. I thought it was quite amusing. I don't quite know why someone's got Alien playfields on the street in New York, but there we go. So I arrived on Monday. Our games arrived on Tuesday. They didn't get actually released by customs until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which was really sort of cutting it quite fine. And of course, dry days in Chicago for a couple of days absolutely chucked it down when we put them on the back of the truck and trailer. But here they are on the way. Luckily, they didn't get damaged. And not all of our team can be here from the US. We have two incredibly talented model makers on our team. We have Matt Reister from Back Alley Creations, who I'm sure most of you will know. And we also have Garrett Popek, who's also an incredibly talented model maker. And Garrett couldn't be here, but he still managed to send us the latest models. And I just love the attention to detail that's sent from some of the guys on our team. As you see, you know, box here with Weyland Yutani, you know, sort of plastered all over it. So I thought that was really good attention to detail. So the face huggers came, of course, in Petri dishes for our safety, I hope you understand. These actually are a new version, because the original ones were made out of a certain resin, and the tails unfortunately disconnected and came flying off in play, which wasn't the desired effect. But these are much more robust now. Well, I say robust, they're much more rubbery. That's more Petri dishes. And now the Xenomorph head joins the party. Unfortunately, yes, I had a bit of an accident along the way. Yeah, they tried to put me through decontamination first, but I refused. These are just a few cool things along the way, you know, as we were doing research for Alien, and Fox sent us some stuff, and we found some stuff. Just some of my favourite, not necessarily this one in particular, just some of my favourite sort of Alien funny stuff we found on the web.
That picture was supplied by Fox.
No. This was one of the ones that wasn't. This didn't make it through approvals. This actually was approved by Fox, so we had two of these come through the post, so I thought it was quite cool. Allegedly, there were supposed to be Xenomorph costumes available from Fox. I tried to get them, but we're pretty happy to have these here with us. So on to some pictures of Alien itself. This is all some promotional photos that we did along the way, which have gone up onto our website and were part of the approvals process with Fox. The eggs that you see here, which have got incredible detail, these were produced by Matt Reister of the Back Alley Creations. And originally these were made out of a green resin, but what we wanted to achieve is each one of these eggs has five LEDs, individually addressable LEDs, and we wanted to be able to create really sort of cool effects with the eggs, like burning eggs. And we just couldn't do that with green, because with green all you get is different shades of green. By having this as sort of a neutral resin, it means then that we can highlight whatever colours that we want. And when I show you the promo video in a minute, who actually has seen the promo video so far? So only a few of you, probably because everybody's been very busy with all the cool stuff here at Expo. So I'm going to show you the promo video in a minute, but you'll see in one of the modes the eggs sort of catching fire. And this is just really the tip of the iceberg of what we hope to achieve with all of the LEDs. Because every single bulb on our game, whether it's a flasher, whether it's what you would call CPU controlled or general illumination, every single one is individually addressable. And we're actually, one of the things that we've pioneered recently is that we're replacing our bulbs with actually a five bulb cluster. So you've actually seen them, so CoinTaker and several of the other suppliers have these same LEDs, but they all either come on at once in one colour or they have a preset light sequence. But what we've actually developed is a bulb with five LEDs in it, with every single one individually addressable. So you can actually have a light show tailor-made within a bulb now. That's a close-up there you can see of the magnet which holds the ball in the playfield. When the xenomorph head then opens, the tongue comes out, grabs the ball and then eats it. And that just shows you some of the colours. Obviously you can't really see it very well in a static picture. Okay, so I just want to ask Dave, are we connected up sound-wise on the computer as well?
Yeah.
Oh, we are, okay. So during the process, of course, we took a lot of videos. And one thing I can show you a couple of things, just as, let's say, outtakes, if you like. One which shows the xenomorph not working. There's a couple of swear words in there. Is anybody particularly sensitive about swear words, or can we go ahead and show it to you?
Show it.
It's good. Okay.
Damn it, Jerry.
Pull back,
back, back, back, back. I think it's not moving forward. What the fuck?
Then there was the way that we did the approvals process with Fox on this, with 20th Century Fox, is we had kind of two options. One of them was that we send a full game over to LA, and they try to work out how to operate a pinball machine and go through all of the approvals process. That's one way. But the way I suggested to them was that maybe we took a load of videos covering every aspect of the game, showed them what we were doing, showed them all the animations, the call-outs and everything, and hopefully they'd be happy with that and approve it that way, and they agreed. But this went on for about 3 or 4 days, long into the early hours of the morning, where we had a GoPro above the playfield, and we had a separate camera then, and we were taking all the approvals videos. But there was one fairly funny moment, which wasn't meant to be. I'll see if you can see what went wrong. This isn't it, by the way. This is just showing you some of the early testing of the xenomorph mechanism. So what this video actually showed you is not only will this mechanism basically eat the ball on the playfield, but we want the xenomorph to be snarling at the player. So during the course of the game, you'll see that the jaw opening and closing, and you'll see really cool animations on the screen as if she's sort of snarling at the player. This is just to show you, this actually doesn't have the outtake on it, but it shows you some of how the approvals process went. So this was for the ambush mode.
By four zones or areas. This section here, the lights will be red. This section here, the lights will be blue. This section here, the lights green. And finally, this section here, the lights yellow. You'll see on the motion tracker, the dots descending from four different areas. These four different areas represent these four zones to make it easy to know which shots you need to make in order to stop the xenomorphs reaching you, the player, and you losing a lot of points. Now I'll press these targets to get 12. Super jackpot reached. going to drain all of the balls. They're coming to end the moment.
So what you actually you see there is one of the sort of the new sort of interactive modes that we've got. With our first game, Full Throttle, it was we had relatively basic animations, and there wasn't a lot of interactivity between the animations and what the player was doing. A lot of it was pre-rendered. But we made a sort of a big step forwards, and we had a complete rewrite of what we call our video server program, which Brian in particular was responsible for. And what this allows us to do is to have sort of real-time animations, because one of the key things about something like Alien is, you know, you've got these like motion trackers where you've got the xenomorphs coming from you from all directions, and it shows up on the tracker. And what this mode, or what hopefully that video shows you, is there's the dots can actually be planned wherever you want them, and they can interact with the targets and everything else as well. So we have two different types of trackers in this game, one from Alien, one from Aliens. We have the mobile sentry guns from Aliens as well, and all of this interacts with what you're doing on the playfield. So that pretty much sort of concludes my sort of presentation. The actual outtake I was talking to you about, which I thought that I had here, was in the bug hunt mode, and I was ad-libbing a lot of the time because it didn't need to be professional, it just needed to explain to Fox what it was that we were doing. And at one point I wanted to talk about the colonial colonists, but unfortunately it came out as colonial communists, so this became quite a sort of funny in-joke for a while at the company. So I'd like to thank you for listening to my presentation, and I'd like to open the floor to any questions that you might have, either to myself or to one of my team here. So,
in the approval process, you can hear some of the sound clips from the various movies. Were you able to get all the actors, or are there only some in the game?
We essentially got pretty much all the ones that we wanted. Sigourney Weaver isn't in the game. We did actually try to get her voice just as a token thing, because we thought it would have been quite cool to have in the game, but it was never actually needed because of our approach to this game, because the player is effectively playing as Ripley. They are, acting out all of the different or the best scenes in both of the movies. So it kind of wouldn't make sense if you're Ripley then to start hearing Ripley or seeing Ripley in the various scenes or the vocals. So yes, we did try to get her. That wasn't possible, but we have all of the main American actors. Ape Hone, Dallas, Lambert. Then in the second film we've got Ape Hone, Hicks, Hudson, Bishop. So we think that most of the really classic lines that an Alien fan would want to hear in this game, we think we've pretty much got that covered. So,
you're doing the tracker mode, and it's telling you it wants to come this way, and you hit it there, and it disappears. Is that random every time, or is it always coming up as the same? Did you guys program random?
I think it's intended to be random. That's probably one I need to ask Joe.
So the question, if anyone didn't hear it, was in the ambush mode or ambush multi-ball where the aliens are coming towards you, is that random or not? And the answer is, if it is in tournament mode, it is not random. And if it is not in tournament mode, it's random.
So, back.
I'm sorry?
The price of the game.
Oh, the price of the game. In US dollars now, I believe it's $6,300 for the Alien Standard and $8,300 or $8,350 for the LE. The 27-inch back box option is $550. So it comes with the playfield screen as standard, and if you want the 27-inch back box screen, then that's an extra on top of it. So,
when you first approached Fox about this, were they pretty receptive, or was it a lot of arm twisting to get?
There was a lot of arm twisting involved, but Alien was always my dream theme. I thought, if I'm going to start a pinball company, what theme would I like to have here? And Alien was always my number one film of all time, closely followed by Alien. So it had to be Alien, especially knowing the history of pinball and the fact there'd never been an official Alien pin. There nearly was with Barry, as I'm sure most of you in here know. Bram Stoker's Dracula was meant to be Alien 3, but because of the production problems with Alien 3, WMS canned it and went for Bram Stoker's Dracula, and the only one before that then you could argue be Space Invaders, which I think was 1980, which was effectively an unofficial Alien game. So, we're the first company to have the official license to Alien, and they were receptive at the start, but we were negotiating a license at a very early point in our in our company's career and our progression. And so we had the help of Roger Sharp to help us get the first license. And you know, he did an exceptional job. You know, he's the best in the business at getting licensing. And I think, you know, we chose very wisely there because Roger did a great job. So it was and there we are. So yeah, please round of applause for Roger for helping to get this amazing license. And you know, the great thing about Roger is Roger just brings so much extra added value to such a process as well. So, you know, when everything's going smoothly, great. When things aren't going smoothly, then Roger's the guy who gets the phone call. Roger, can you help us out, please? And, you know, I will say that in the early stages of when we were dealing with Fox, you know, we'd never dealt with a licensor before. And it's fair to say there were some communication problems at the start. Communication problems in that Fox wanted us to do things a certain way. We had our own interpretation of how we thought they wanted things to be. So there was a bit of a disconnect in the early days, and so Roger and I had a good number of conversations. We came with a plan and we spoke to Fox, and then it just sort of clicked into place, I guess, like any relationship. You know, it really clicked into place, and especially in the last 3 or 4 months, because things actually changed. We were dealing with Fox over in the UK, who were then dealing with Fox over in LA. So in actual fact, it was a more complicated process, because the London office had to try to interpret what it was that we were doing, then relay that to the LA office and everything, so there was always this middleman there. But then that all changed, I think it was about 4 months ago, and the UK office was no longer doing the direct licensing, and so we were then dealing directly with LA, and I would just be dealing with two amazing people over there, and they just couldn't have been more helpful. You know, they sent us over some of these facehuggers there for the show, and they were just, it was a really good process, and it was really interesting for me, because, you know, it's our first license getting, I mean, we've got three other licenses at the moment, that we're dealing with at the moment for three future games, but the first one was always, you know, getting to that point where you get that final approval, and you can just feel yourself getting closer and closer and closer, and we're getting all this positivity, and they absolutely loved it. They saw the gameplay videos, all the photos, and they were stunned by it, and they congratulated all our team. They insisted I speak to each of my team members individually and congratulate them on what they'd seen. So they were really happy, and we're really happy. So yeah, it was a very interesting experience. Yes, there's some special Pin Game Journal Alien Special Edition. Pin Game Journal, limited edition, can we call it that?
Yeah. I have some here and tons of the booth.
Okay, so some here, please feel free to collect them afterwards. We also have some game flyers here somewhere. Have we got game flyers here, guys? Okay. Yes, we've got some game flyers for you all to take away as well. And then if you run out the Pin Game Journal ones, then Jim Stall in the vendor hall will have a ton more too. So you had a question at the back.
Yeah, now that you've acquired your first license with Fox, you did mention that you're working on three others. Mm-hmm. Are any of those with Fox? And I'm assuming that would probably help the process, a second license with Fox, if you already have.
Well, all I can say is that we will be working with Fox again, so I can guarantee you that. I can't say whether it's actually on the current license, but discussions have happened, whether that's actually because we're working on the current license or we will in the future. We have an excellent relationship with them now. They know us. They love the way that we do things. That's in the process of getting this to market. And so absolutely, if a Fox game isn't one of our next titles, it will certainly be a future title. But, I mean, that experience really helped us dealing with other, you know, licensors as well, because, you know, they all have a very similar approach to it. You just got to understand what it is. That's half the problem. And also as well, you know, because of the thing is with a license is, you know, it's not just as simple, yes, can we use the Alien license? Yes, you can. You know, there's so many more issues there. You know, when you really dig deep into licensing and you look that, you know, contracts that were between studios and actors, for example, were very different back in the 1970s, and this was back in 79, than they are now today. And they're different actors. You know, some have equity cards, which means you have to deal with them individually, and some are covered by contracts. So it's a minefield, as I'm sure Roger will back me up on. And it was a really interesting insight into how the whole process works. So,
what's the biggest hurdle for getting the license for this game from Fox?
The biggest hurdle for getting it in the first place? I guess with any license, it's possibly money. It's probably money, because, you know, they. Would you say, Roger?
I mean, I'll jump in. I think the biggest hurdle, in all honesty, was trying to at least validate the fact that Andrew was starting a business, that there was a unique opportunity. And to Andrew's point, I had a good relationship with the studio, and they wanted to trust me in my judgment to say, yes, let's do this and see if we can make the effort. So
I think that that was the biggest hurdle. The biggest hurdle was just the unknown. It wasn't as if Fox has never done licensing and going out before. I mean, I've worked with them in the past. So after that, you know, Andrew is proving on the team, look what they can achieve. So
I think actually it's a really valid point as well, because you know we were at that time a brand new company. We didn't have anything really we could show that we'd gone and done before. And when you consider that, I mean, when I think of Alien, I think that this has been possibly one of the best, if not the best, licenses out there on the planet. Because you know, what other licenses can you look at which you know go back 38 odd years and are still relevant today? You know, Prometheus, whether it's an Alien prequel or Prometheus, the second movie, this is all still relevant today. So you know, in Fox's portfolio, you know, this is probably has to be right at the top or almost there at the top of Fox's licenses.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's one of their cornerstones. For those who follow the movies, Alien Covenant is coming, which is a follow-up to Prometheus, and there's a couple more films that are also on the drawing board over the next 3 to 5 years. So Ridley Scott is strongly added to rephrasing things.
Is Alien 5 still on hold at the moment?
It is, because of Covenant.
Because of Covenant, yeah, but so he's still planning on doing after. Do you have any more questions? Sir?
Did you have to make any special considerations for using Andrew Reserve Armor?
Any special considerations for?
HRD Reserve Armor.
No special requirements there. I mean, the basic requirement from an artwork point of view is that, you know, if it's in the movie, if it's in what, you know, every license store will give you style guide information. And that's basically, you know, they want you to follow the point on how they are trying to, you know, portray the brand, which is another key, you know, challenge when you're dealing with something like this. You know, if you're dealing with a movie which is an isolated movie 30 odd years ago, you know, clearly it's not relevant today, so I think you probably get a lot more freedom with it. But when it's something which is still relevant today, they're very specific. And we've actually told you in the process that there would be a lot more scrutiny on what we were doing simply because it was such a relevant product today when new films being made.
Is this on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think you're specifically talking about the image on the front cover, though. Is that why you're asking? But just to give you slightly more detail, I did not have access to anything that he did, but they did provide some of his original sketches for the film as part of the official assets. So if it was in there, it was fair game. If it wasn't, it was not something I could just chase after.
Could I follow
on?
Is there any way I can get my hands on that Whale and Tony box?
We probably cut a little bit out for you. It was really actually quite interesting, Roy. I think you'll back me up on this. Is the style guide information? There was a lot of stuff on there you would never think in a million years would be in a style guide for Alien.
Yeah, it's actually interesting how much early material they gave us. If you're a serious fan of the original film, you may have seen like some of the old logos before they settled on the classic egg. There were a bunch of type treatments, things that were totally off the wall and looked like they matched anything you've ever seen. And for whatever reason, that all showed up. I guess we could have used it. I don't know why you possibly would have, but it was in the official.
Yeah. I mean, there was cartoon stuff in there, wasn't there? There was some really random stuff in there.
There was a lot of strange stuff.
Yeah.
So, can you explain the differences between the LE and the base model?
The LE has the rotating beacon toppers that you see on top of there. At the moment, these are just on and off on this model. It's already programmed into the software. But so what you see here is a very good representation of the finished model. And most things are working, but maybe not working on the game as such, like the Xenomorph head, for example. So the artwork in the side panels, which is our new blade system of artwork, and this doesn't actually... this chip differs from other blades on the market, which are add-ons to a cabinet side. These are actually recessed into the cabinet side, the side artwork there. So when you're pulling the playfield up and down, then it never crashes with the blades there. And it means you can change the artwork there for future games as well. So that comes as a standard edition, but the lighting system, which is EL panels, that comes a standard on the limited edition or as an extra add-on then for standard edition customers. And basically it's just it's three EL panels, which all sort of slot into place. So the two sides and what you would call the backboard as well. So there's that. The limited edition has a shaker motor as well. The limited edition has the a special type of fiber optic ramps. It's not on this game at the moment, but we'll be releasing that over the coming weeks as well. And then of course you get the limited edition trim. you go and get the goodie bag, which has a number of things like magnets and stuff like that, and I think it's a t-shirt, and then you get the limited edition as well, because we're limiting this to, it's always been 500 models, if you like, 500 units of the limited edition game. I think I've pretty much covered everything now.
So to the limited edition, is there still the, if you get a 27-inch monitor, there's the artwork around the monitor. Is there still plans to do a limited edition version of that for the LE, or is that's the version?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And also, do you get both then, if you're an LE customer, to swap if you want to have the standard?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy, to be honest, it's the easiest thing in the world to go and change. And what a lot of people want to have is to have that full screen artwork experience too. So we already actually have that. So that's something that the LE customer gets as well. So the 27-inch screen is an optional extra. So so the game comes with, you know, a full screen translight, if you like, and then when you order, when you get the 2070 screen, you also then get the panel with the window in it, as you see there.
So the standard will have a different panel than the LE?
Exactly, yeah, so the limited edition has a separate one anyway. So what I'm trying to say is there's effectively two versions of that artwork, aside from the LE, assuming you want to have the screen. So it comes with the full screen as standard, and then you get that window if you get the screen upgrade as part of the package.
Great.
Dave?
European coin door, or can we get an American coin
door? Yeah, we have American coin door. It's been a bit of a hassle. I think it's Hilton in the room here. Huh? Hilton, are you here? Hilton's operates one of our games on site and has a specific question for us, because as you see, it's a single coin door there. We make our own troughs as well. We make most of our own mechanisms now. And the problem we have is that the standard two-slot coin door that you get with a validator panel, the validator being for the note acceptor, clashes with our trough only by about, about quarters or half an inch, but it still clashes. So we've actually just got a brand new design of coin door with our suppliers, which basically swaps over the two for the US market and the Canadian market. The two mechanical bits are now aligned on the left-hand side of the door. The note validator plate is on the bottom right-hand side of the door, so there's no clashing there. So we've that's at the design stage now. It's about to be prototyped, and that should be for the US market. That will become our standard door. So the single slot coin door then is for like the UK and European. I have to say UK and European now, of course, don't type as well. We're not one happy family anymore, and possibly Australia, and then a double coin slot then for the American market. So
The magnet for the alien head, the ball gets caught on the magnet for the tongue to come out. Is that the only feature of the magnet, or are you going to use it kind of to like fight or anything to fling the ball back at the player?
Well, the playfield magnet does that already. So when you hit it, when you hit the targets in front of it, if it's not holding the ball for the xenomorph to go and to eat the ball, it actually is throwing it around. If you watch the promo video again, the first time it hits the targets there, you'll see that the ball is flung away with the magnet. So the playfield magnet is the only controlled magnet. The xenomorph magnet is a static magnet. So what it happens is when you extend it, it catches the ball, it magnetizes the ball, brings it back in, but we knock, within a mechanism, we knock the ball off physically, and then it drops into a subway.
To that point, when the ball goes to the subway, on the right-hand upper corner, there looks like another ramp. Where's the ball? How's the ball get on there?
It doesn't. That was actually one of the original, it hasn't been removed from the game. Originally, we had a ramp that came all the way around the back and connected to that. So we've actually got some new artwork for the back panel as well, which shows the juggernaut on the left-hand side and shows the space jockey on the right-hand side. So we'll be making a couple of small changes in that corner.
But to answer your question, that magnet fling, it's active now. When you play it, you'll see it.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for us? Any other questions? Sir?
Noticed online you move production facilities. How is ramp up and production rate and things going in the new facility?
We've hired on some new people recently. We've got our new production manager has experience of running 200 people on 24/5 shifts. That's 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, controlling 200 people. So he's really at the top of his game as far as production goes. And we brought him in specifically to move over from what we would call low production runs at the moment to what we need to be in the very near future, which is high production runs. So we've already been making changes within the factory to gear up to that, which is, you know, having the production line running nice and efficiently and smoothly. Part of the process, of course, is making sure you have enough parts for everything. So yeah, it's a big sort of planning process, but we know exactly where we're going with that, and you know, we've got some more people in now to help us achieve that. So you know, the goal is in the not too distant future, by around end of November to middle of December, we want to be up to about 100 games a month. That's our goal.
Okay. Do we have any other questions, or are we?
I do. I just wondered if some of the other members of your design team here would like to tell us how they became involved in the Alien project.
Yeah, very good idea. Okay, so yeah, well, I guess what we'll do then is if I hand the mic over for a minute or two to each of our guys, and then if you have any questions specifically, then we can do that, and then maybe move on from there. So, Brian.
Sure. So I am, I think, the only member here who was involved with Full Throttle. So. I've been working on that since 2012, 2013. So that's kind of how I got involved with Alien. I just kept working. So with Alien, I was doing all the programming on Full Throttle, but with Alien, I was doing kind of half the programming. So, but Andrew found me online, and I've been doing programming for pinball games for a while for fun, and I. Thought this would be an interesting opportunity to try it for real, and it's worked out. I've had a lot of fun with it, and I plan to be here for the next game as well. So, but I think most of the Alien stories you want to hear about are really going to come from the other guys, because they did the majority of the work on this game. So,
I have a question. Great.
Sure.
What is the program then?
Oh, it's programmed in C, C++.
And the platform? Suppose that.
Like Linux?
Yeah.
Yep. Is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay. I could go on all day, but talk to me later if you want to know more.
I, like Brian, for several years, wrote my own WPC operating platform from scratch just because it's a fun thing to do. Brian and I had actually been trading notes for a few years. I knew he had written his free WPC platform. I was writing mine, which never got released, although it does drive one game. It drives a cash ball. If you've ever seen a slot machine topper of cash ball, I fully implemented what I remember working in the casino. But anyway, so we kind of traded notes on what he was doing, what I was doing, and that was just, you know, it was just kind of fun. I've known Brian for 20 years or so through Pinball Expo and Papa and other shows, and about a little over a year ago at Replay FX last year, Brian ran into me and he's like, hey, you have any interest in a job? I got laid off from my 9-to-5-er job a couple years ago, and I've been doing independent work since then. He's like, hey, you interested in doing some pinball programming? I'm like, sure, that sounds great. And that was pretty much how I got associated with Highway Pinball, and started officially basically January 1st of this year, and it's been a blast.
So I work, my name is Kelly. I work mostly in animated film and television, and I do stop motion animation for a living, like what Ray Harryhausen used to do. And
you're a pinball fan.
What's that? I'm a pinball fan, yes. And I've been looking for a way to get my animation into pinball machines. I did some dot work for Stern on Metallic, Star Trek, and miscellaneous stuff. And Orc and I are friends in Southern California through, you know, miscellaneous pinball collector acquaintances. And when Orc signed on to do creative director,
I don't have to tell my story now.
For Alien. He brought me on, and we've been working together, collaborating with, working with the style of how to do video clips on a pinball machine without distracting from the actual pinball game. So, and that's all I've got.
Okay. I think I told my story last year. I don't know how many of you were here for that. I'll keep it short. I think most people know me from Pinside. That's how Andrew found me. He sent me a message one day and said, hey, would you by any chance like to help me make this alien game? And I've got a limited edition alien poster hanging behind me on my wall in my office while he's talking to me. I'm a huge H.R. Giger fan, love the film, so it's kind of a no-brainer. And the thing I really wanted to talk about just briefly is what a pleasure it's been to work with this U.S. team. Kelly's obviously in Southern California with me. It's nice to be able to see him sometimes. But the truth is, we didn't collaborate in person all that much. We're too busy driving across town. Going from Torrance to Hollywood, if you know anything about Southern California, it's not an easy jaunt. Brian's out in Florida, Joe, you're in Virginia. Yep. And Dave's up by Seattle. And so it really takes, I think, a special chemistry to get a group of five people who all have their own specialties and things they're bringing to the field, but also have great ideas that influence everybody else. I know, for instance, I am kind of notorious for late at night coming up with off-the-wall ideas, and I will type a lot of stuff into our chat channel, which Joe and Brian are very patient about before they tell me what a terrible idea it is and we're not going to do it. But, you know, every once in a while, one of them sticks. And I feel like that's how we all work, is that we all have the ability to have input with each other, and then we all understand this is your field and you know your thing and this is just an idea. And if you think it's a dumb idea, then, you know, tell me to shut up and move on. And that's actually an incredible freedom to be able to express things, put out ideas, and then know that the best product is still going to come out of it. And I will pass you to David Deal, the man who did the sound for Q-Bert.
Oh, stop that. Well, last year at this time, I was looking for more work. I'm an independent contractor. Actually, in 2016, in February, I celebrated my 10th anniversary as a freelancer, because I started in February 2016 with Pirates of the Caribbean. So then I became involved with Jersey Jack, and I was working on The Hobbit. But let's just say that had a deliberate schedule and was taking considerably longer than I have ever experienced. And I'm not an employee, and so I'm scheduled. When I get work done, I get paid. But I don't get work done if they aren't getting stuff done. And the 6 months or 8 months that I would spend on a project, well, let's just say I've spent 26 months on The Hobbit. So the money that I rely on to pay for the plumber and groceries became rather thin, and I talked to Jack in June, June before June. I said, hey, I'm going to have to work for somebody else too. And so I became aware that Andrew had the license and stuff, but I looked on his website and he had hired some British sound guy who had worked on Alien 3, and I thought, oh, well, that's too bad. I never know. And then I got in contact with you somehow, And it became clear that the project, Alien, had also experienced some, let's call it deliberate project development. That's a euphemism for really slow. So the opportunity that the guy that he had and was announcing on his website, you know, the window for him to participate in Alien had come and gone. He was no longer available. So I talked to Orrick, and Orrick said, yeah, I know your work. That would be fun. So I talked with Andrew here last year, and he sat down and showed me some stuff, and we sort of came to terms that didn't really become tangible till January of this year. And then January, we kicked it in gear. First thing I do is get in touch with the programmer to see, you know, if all the stuff I need to do a really good job is in place. And it wasn't. But Brian put it in an amazing fashion very quickly, and it's beautiful stuff. He's built a wonderful simulator that's allowed us to all collaborate and build a thing that we're really happy with. So, and I echo the what Oryx said. This is maybe my 21st video game, or sorry, pinball game project in 10 years. And I've had just the best time doing it. And when you have a really good time, it's reflected in your work. And I stood in line in Chicago and Schaumburg in the cold or the sweltering heat, I forget which, and with the line that crawled around the theater in 1979 when theaters were still large, and saw Alien. I like it. And then I did the same thing in 86 to see Aliens, surprisingly a good sequel. Andrew thinks he's the biggest Alien fan. We may have to go toe-to-toe on that one. Of course, Oryk may jump in there, so we may have a wrestling match. So I have to say, I'm thrilled to arrive at this point where the software team has gotten to a very mature delivery on this. It's not done, but it's really close. And when you finally get it, I can be confident that it will be done. I can't always say that on some projects. Names withheld. But this one is going to be done, and we hope you like it. You know, we like it. And frankly, the other thing is that we have done all this work virtually. 9 months. This is the Kama Sutra pinball projects. We have been doing this thing on simulators for a long time. And the first time that the programmer flipped the damn hardware was Wednesday. And it's a testimony to Brian's simulator and the team's effort that this thing is fun right now and really slick. And once Joe gets one, which will happen in a couple weeks, it's going to be this one probably, and he gets to tune up the light shows with physical hardware, you know, if you like this, you're going to love it in a month. And by the time it's delivered, I hope you fall in love with it the same way we have. I'm done.
Excellent. Thanks very much, David. Thank you, team, as well. Thanks, everybody. I'm just going to wrap up with just a couple of words. I want to sort of follow on from what the team has said here. This has been a real labour of love for us all. And, I'm kind of very proud and honoured, really, to have had such an amazing team work on this, because I have the pleasure on this game of having people really right at the top of their game, everything from the programming to the sounds to the animations and the way the whole thing clicks in together. I mean, to not only have such a hugely talented group of people working here, but also to have them all love this film and this to be a real passion project for them too, where everybody's really working to try to make as an amazing Alien experience as possible. Because, you know, we kind of almost see ourselves as being custodians for this fantastic license. You know, because there's never been a pinball machine, the responsibility is on us, is to give you, the Alien fans, the Alien public, the best possible pinball experience that we can do, and we're not saying we got it right first time, and we may make some changes along the way, and that's one of the great things you can do with the pinball machines. You can do changes to the coding, you can add new things on there to really better the experience. So, you know, we're going to continue a development program even after the games have been released into the wild. And I also just want to say a note as well about my team back in Wales, because we're really well represented by our US team here. Not everybody has made it, but there's been some Herculean efforts over in the UK to get especially the second game built in time so we could bring it over here, and to have the whole thing wired up. I mean, really, there were like 2, 3, 4 a.m. Mornings trying to get these prepared and ready and brought over here. So I'd also like to say a huge thank you for my team there. So if we maybe just have a quick round of applause for our US team and our UK team. Very much. As a company, we're looking at opening up our second office in the very near future, stateside. Our goal is to have a second development team running alongside a primary development team. So we have actually 3 games ready to prototype at this very point at the moment. Design's done, one of them has a full artwork package already, rules written, they just need to be built, coded, and released to the market. So we have a bit of a backlog of games there. But, you know, we wanted to concentrate fully on getting this game out to the market first. So we continue to concentrate on this, but we'll start to really speed up development of our sort of second game after that. So, do you want to say something?
Just real quick question. Are you going to, is this going to be a kit to boost up from full throttle?
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
And backwards, and all the other ones are going to continue to have
absolutely,
that?
Yeah. Our standard system is you can buy game kits for 65% or so of the price of the full game, and you can swap them out into any cabinet you buy a hybrid pinball game in. So you buy, I'm looking at one of my customers straight across the way here now, and I know he wants to get the Alien kit as well. And so, you know, if you're interested, have a look on our YouTube channel. It was a 3-minute, 20-second shoot as to from a booted game to a booted game, and that's just with one person. We figured two people is a 2-minute job. So that kind of concludes really my presentation here. I know I need to finish up because we've got another seminar about to start now. So I thank our team already. I'd just like to say the final thank you to all of you here for coming on to our presentation today. It's great to see so many Alien pinball fans here, and we hope you like our work. We're going to be on the floor this evening and all day tomorrow as well, so if you want to come speak to me or any of the team, please feel free. But a huge thank you to everybody for having us here today. Thank you. I'd just actually just say one final thing. I'd also like to just point out we've got some amazing distributors here as well. We have Pointaker represented over here. And we also have our amazing Canadian distributors over there, and Tommy and Nitro. Woo! And we also have our amazing Austrian distributor, Stefan Riedler, over here. And I hope I haven't missed anybody out, and thank you very much. Goodbye.